desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, but they were not willing to come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Our parable this morning of the wedding follows the parable of the vineyard last Sunday. There the king's son was identified as the stone. That stone is the body of the son, the real temple of God, that was rejected by the builders to become the cornerstone of the new temple, the Son's crucified, risen, and glorified body. Both a wedding and a cornerstone unite opposites. The imagery of these two parables shows us the kingdom of heaven as a mystery of the union of God and man in Christ, Son of the King, cornerstone of the new temple not made with hands, that is not of this creation, in which earth and heaven, time and eternity, life and death are united in a union filled with the power to create living persons and to nurture them in the loving faithfulness of the intimacy of the marriage of Christ and his bride, the church. So in the imagery of these two parables, we pass over from the old to the new year. The imagery of these two parables reveals beneath the veil of astral or atomic time, a deeper movement, a deeper time. The passing from death to life in the love of Christ and his bride. The passing of time but veils the inner movement of the deep heart beyond all things, our true self, that longs to exist in the love of God who descends to us in love, that we may ascend to him in love. These two parables then are like two clusters of grapes harvested from the vineyard of heaven, where Christ is the vine and we are the branches. When we squeeze these two parables together through the winepress of that vineyard, the winepress of Christ's death and resurrection and glorification, they produce a heavenly wine of rich theological flavors, tinctured with fragrant notes of the fruits of the Spirit. The stone of last Sunday's parable of the kingdom was taken out of the vineyard, you recall, and it was killed. An image of Christ taken out of the city and killed on the cross. At the moment of his death, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies, just as the heavens were torn when he came up out of the waters of the Jordan at his baptism. Last Sunday's parable of the vineyard, then, is a parable of Christ's holy Pascha, shows this wedding of the King's Son, today's parable, taking place on the cross of Christ outside the city. We see the banquet hall as the sanctuary of the heavenly temple. And we see the path, the way, those that were called to the wedding of the King's Son must take if they're going to come into the wedding hall, the sanctuary of the heavenly temple. It's the path that disappears in the tomb of Christ outside the city. The body of Christ, the rejected stone, was taken down from the cross and he was laid in a tomb. In other words, he was laid in the midst of the earth, as the psalmist says, there to work salvation in the midst of the earth. The stone that was rejected then became the cornerstone outside the city. It became the cornerstone of the new temple outside the city, beyond the temple of Jerusalem. It became the cornerstone, more specifically, in the temple, in the new temple. It became the cornerstone of the new temple in the tomb of Christ, in the mystery of Christ's death. There in the midst of the earth, Christ worked salvation. And the salvation that he worked was the union of earth to heaven, time to eternity, death to life, and man to God. This union was begun in the conception and birth of Christ of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. It was finished on the cross. And the church, the bride of Christ, brought forth her firstborn son in the resurrection of Christ as the firstborn of the dead. Christ is now the beginning, the archi, the cornerstone, not out here in this world, but in here, in the tomb, in the midst of the earth, in the unseen mystery of our own heart. But Jeremiah the prophet says, is deep beyond all things. In other words, it's outside the city. That the stone becomes the cornerstone outside the city is of the highest importance, because it means that when Christ is crucified on the cross and buried in the tomb, The wedding of the king's son and his bride is consummated in the unseen depths of the human heart. That in us which is the man, deeper than all things, our true self, that is outside the city, beyond our body, beyond our soul, beyond our space-time existence, in some spiritual, theological realm, whatever you want to call it, where we truly exist. But we exist as our true selves in an eternal dimension which has become the eternal darkness of the tomb, because we have been separated from Christ our God, the image in whom we were made, who is himself the life and the resurrection. By the disobedience of our self-love, we are dead in our hearts outside the city. Our souls lie in the darkness of our heart like a spiritual corpse laid in the tomb. So that the stone is laid in the tomb outside the city to become the cornerstone, the mystery in which earth is united to heaven, where time is united to eternity, where death is united to life, where man is united to God, means that the wedding of the king's son and its consummation take place where we are dead in our sins and trespasses, in the depths of our heart, outside the city, in the midst of the earth, in the tomb of our heart that is beyond, deep beyond all things. And it means that the blood of Christ on the cross is poured out on our dead souls buried in the tomb of our heart. The living waters of his Holy Spirit penetrate to the division of our soul and spirit, and the imperishable and living Word of God unites itself to the corpse of our dead soul as the seed of the man unites with the egg of his beloved wife. And in that mystery, God becomes one with us, not just in the flesh, but even in our deep heart, outside the city. But what does that mean but that we are made to become one with him, who is himself the resurrection and the life, in the tomb of our deep heart outside the city? In the mystery of the stone that has become the cornerstone, the mystery of the wedding of the king's son, in the spiritual marriage of the church that is deep beyond all things, we are cleansed. And more than that, we become one with God who became one with us. And more than that, the life that begins to live in us is the life of Christ's Holy Spirit. We call that glorification. We call it sanctification. We call it deification. The spiritual marriage of the church is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven that is within you. It is the mystery of Christ in you. It is the mystery wherein he works our salvation in the midst of the earth. In other words, in our deep heart, that we might be born from above in the power of his Holy Spirit to become children of God. What then are we to make of this wedding garment that the man in our parable this morning is not wearing, so that he is cast out of the banquet hall? Well, we read in Isaiah, "Who is this that comes with red garments from Bozrah? Why are your garments red and your apparel as one who treads in a winepress?" Isaiah's vision is of Christ's holy Pascha and glorification. The garment that the Lord is wearing in Isaiah's vision is the garment of our flesh. The wedding garment of our parable this morning, then, is the glory, even the divinity of Christ. As Christ himself says to the Father, "The glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. And as St. Peter writes, that you might become communicants of the divine nature. This wedding garment is the robe of light. It's the glory of the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead that we put on when we put on Christ at our holy baptism. After swearing with an oath, which in the Latin is sacramentum, that's why we call it a sacrament. After swearing with an oath to unite ourselves to him in the likeness of his death. If this man is at the wedding banquet, it must be that he has died. He's come out of the city, out of the world, and into the place of his heart, into the tomb of his heart. And in the banquet hall, there in the tomb of his heart, he finds himself standing before God the King, who judges the secrets of men by his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the things hidden in the darkness of his heart are brought to light. So if he is found without a wedding garment, it must be that he never put it on. Or if he was baptized, he must have taken it off. And in his heart, he returned to live in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life of this world that passes away and disappears into the eternal darkness of the grave. And he chose not to live in his heart in the death of Christ that opens onto his holy resurrection. It must mean that in his heart he had lived in that one sin that cannot be forgiven. It's the sin of refusing to repent, seeking to save his life and not taking up his cross to follow Christ into his deep heart outside the city, beyond all things, so that the tomb of his heart could be transfigured into a bridal chamber. That would mean that he made no effort to put to death what was earthly in him or to unite himself to Christ in the likeness of Christ's death so that he could be cleansed and refashioned in the depths of his heart and be born from above as a child of God. Beloved faithful, we pass over into the new year of the church as into the dawn of the last day that is heralded by the nativity of the most blessed and glorious Theotokos, the Mother of God. Her nativity means that the King is near. The day of the King has come. A call from on high has gone forth from the altar of the church. And we'll hear that cry, we'll hear that call next Sunday, the Sunday before the elevation of the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow Christ where? Follow Christ into the chamber of your heart. That's where he's leading us. Wed your soul to the cornerstone that is Christ, who has been laid there outside the city. Put on Christ. Let's put on Christ by taking up our cross. And let the church give birth to you as a child of God in the death and resurrection of her bridegroom, the King's Son, in the mystery of his glorious and most holy Pascha. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.